Amen. Come on, as he's coming, let him know that he's loved. Let him know that he appreciates it.
Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Most High God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so grateful and thankful this morning to be in the house of the Lord. Praise God. And to also be here for this blessed occasion, for 10 years anniversary of this precious man and woman of God and of this precious church. And I'm so blessed and honored how you have honored him even upon last night. But most of all, the heart of God is so pleased and how that you have done what was in his heart. Because again, you know, this was God's heart to honor this precious man and this woman of God. And as we said last night out of 1 Peter 5:6, it says, be humbled by the power of God so that in the right time, he can honor you. And surely, again, this is the right time to honor this man and this woman of God. And so we are grateful and we are thankful. You know, I bring greetings, love from our overseer and my pastor, Pastor Valerie Holcomb, amen. She is so elated with the very fact that 10 years later, we're here again to celebrate with you all, amen. And she's been trying to call your pastor and have not been able to reach him. So please pray. Praise the Lord. But amen. But she is so excited. Amen. And we're all excited about what God is doing. And this morning, you know, we just want to give God praise for all the clergy that's here this morning that came to celebrate, all the leaders of this great house, especially these precious elders who have stood with this man and this woman of God. Give God praise. Give God praise for them. Amen. Amen. Then, of course, the blessed membership. This couldn't be if it was not for you, amen, for this faithful membership. And so we are truly, you know, honored today. And as the man of God said, you know, 10 years ago, just on assignment, and, you know, I was so privileged to come then, and I'm privileged to be here now. And to think that, you know, what the Lord had done then, to see what's happening today, and when you said that you found out that I was coming, at your heart leap. When I found out that it was 10 years, my heart leaped. I couldn't believe it was that much time from the last time that we were here, amen? But nonetheless, we are grateful and we are thankful, again, for the opportunity to be able to be here. Now, let me ask this question. How many of you were here 10 years ago when I came through, me and my wife? Raise your hand, wave it. Praise God. That's beautiful. Praise God. Give yourselves a hand. You're still here in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And so this morning, we're going to get right into the word of God because the Lord has brought me here this morning to help in the celebration of honoring this precious man and this precious woman of God. You know, we give God, of course, all the honor, all the glory, the adoration with thanksgiving. Because, again, this was in his heart. And he's so mindful of us. And he's not a God that don't recognize your labor of love that you have towards his people. And so, you know, in your humility, much like Bishop Holcomb, it was 10 years before he allowed us as a congregation to be able to have a service like this, to express our appreciation because of his humility. You know, his thing was always, it's all about him. It's all about him. And it is all about him. And then one day the Lord just touched his heart. Don't stop playing, brother. I like that. And so the Lord had touched his heart and said, listen, you need to let these people honor you because what you're doing, you're clogging, you're stopping their blessing. I want to bless them But one of the ways that the blessing will flow to and through them is by blessing you, because this is my word. And so, of course, he opened up his heart and allowed us to do that. And so, you know, we, of course, lavished him with the love of the Lord, and thank God for this man and this woman of God and their humility, you know, and again, allowing you all to have this opportunity to just show forth your gratitude and your attitude of love towards them. And Pastor, we thank you for that, for allowing us to do this. And again, I thank you for allowing me to come and be a part of this great service. Amen. Praise God. Our text this morning is going to come from 1 Samuel, the 9th chapter. If we can turn there, if we can turn to 1 Samuel, the 9th chapter, if you would. Praise God. When you get there, say amen. Praise the Lord. Are y'all a quiet church? I know 10 years ago you wasn't. Praise the Lord. I'm going to need you to preach with me this morning. Praise the Lord. Our reading this morning is going to be a little lengthy. So those that can stand, you can. Those that choose to sit, that's fine also. And the way that I have this set up this morning, in reference to this, is going to be our text. I'm not going to move much from it. Amen. I might go to one other place, but I do have several scriptures that you can write down for those that like to take notes. So I just wanted to warn you, once the train gets started, we're not going to stop a whole lot. Amen. Just wanted you to know. Praise the Lord. And our reading is from 1 Samuel, the 9th chapter. And let me give you a little backdrop on this. This was Saul, and Saul had lost his, I'm going to say donkeys, amen? Because y'all ain't going to call my pastor talking about he was cussing in the church. Praise God. Saul lost his donkeys, amen? And so, I mean, not Saul, but Kish, Saul's father, lost his donkey. So he sent Saul and one of the servants to go and find the lost donkeys. And so we're going to pick up the narrative in verse 3. It says, "And the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, was lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, 'Take now one of the servants with thee, and arise and go seek the donkeys.' And he passed through the Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha. And they found them not. And they passed through the land of Shillim, and they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, 'Come, let us return, lest my father leave caring for the donkeys and take thought for us.' And he said unto him, 'Behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go.' Then Saul said to his servant, 'But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring the man of God. What have we?' And the servant answered Saul again and said, 'Behold, I have here at hand a fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way.'" Let us pray. Father, we are so eternally grateful this morning, thanking you and giving you praise once again for this awesome occasion that we get to do what was in your heart, and that is to honor this holy man and woman of God. I'm thanking you now, Lord, for the Spirit of the living God to move in this place and for your anointing to rest upon me as well as upon them. And then, Father, I thank you, Lord, that as you would think through my mind and speak through my lips, use me as a vessel of clay, meet for the master's use. And then I pray, Father, that if any has come to see Presbyter Alex Hilliard, I pray that you would disappoint them, God, because we come to see Jesus and he alone. And so today, Father, when all is said and done, may you be glorified and may this man and woman of God be honored in your presence. And for that, we give you all of the praise, the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give three people a high five and you might have your seats in the presence of the Most High God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, this morning, you know, is a special time that we come to celebrate and appreciate the visionaries of this great church. Praise God. That is in the form of our pastor, Pastor Everett, and his first lady, Laura Thomas. Let's give God praise for them this morning. Amen. Praise God. And you know, a part of my assignment this morning is to bring attention to the fact that a part of our, before we grow up and to go up, that we have to grow up, amen? We have to grow up, and a part of that is understanding the revelation of kingdom protocol for honoring the holy man of God, amen? See, God don't do stuff like we do, just haphazardly or do it any old kind of way. But God is very meticulous about everything that he does. And so there's a kingdom protocol and how we honor his man, amen? You know, Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all of our getting, get what? Get an understanding, amen? And we understand that the word understanding is a compound word, under and stand, under being a preposition, meaning to yield or submit to, but then stand is to take a position or a point of view, amen? Praise God, understand. So what God is wanting us to do this morning, he wants us to come to a place where we submit and yield to and take his point of view and position concerning how we honor the holy man of God. Amen. You know, in Proverbs 3:5, he says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Amen. To acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he shall direct your path. Now, see, God don't mind you having your understanding. He just don't trust in yours. Amen. He just don't trust in yours. So he wants us to submit and yield to his position on the matter. Take his point of view concerning how we honor the holy man and woman of God. You see, because God, the church, and pastors are not popular in the day and the time that we're living in right now. Amen. And you say, well, why? Of course, we have a few bad apples, amen, but there's bad apples in every field, bad doctors, bad lawyers, bad policemen. But that's not the real reason why. The reason why that there's an all-out attack on the church, the man of God, and even God himself is for two reasons. It's because of light and right. It's because of light and right, what they represent, what the man of God represent, what the church represent, what God is. Light and right. You see, God is light. The church is the lighthouse. And the man of God, he shines the spotlight on the dark areas of our lives. And see, the world, they don't like that because that's where they like to do their dirt. They like to do their dirt in the dark. And y'all sitting there looking like angels. Y'all know how it was when we used to go into the club, amen? Them lights weren't up like this. It'd be dark in them clubs. It be dark. You walk over, you know, the music bumping, and you walk over and you ask a young lady to dance, and you know, it's dark, and you look and you grab her by the hand, bring her to the dance floor. You out there dancing with her, you spin her around and dip her. You say, by the way, baby, what's your name? And she say, Melvin. And you be like, oh my God, it's a man. See, you gotta watch out, you know, in that dark. You got to be careful in that dark. But that's what they like to do it in the dark. Amen. You know, Isaiah 60 says, arise, shine, for thy light has come. For the glory of the Lord has risen up on thee. But it says, but darkness has covered the earth and gross darkness the people. It says, but the light of the Lord will shine upon you and the glory will be seen in you. So what he's saying here is that we got to let our light shine in this last and evil days, because darkness has covered the earth and gross darkness, he says, the people. Praise God. And the thing about light is this: light expels darkness and exposes evil deeds. And that's why they are putting an all-out war against us. They don't want us to expose that darkness. They don't want us to expel that darkness and expose the evil deeds. And see, but then it says what? Right. In other words, you know, God is right. Amen. The church is where you get right. The man of God show us how to get right. Show us how to get right. And the thing about that is this. There's some things now that are legal. There's some things that are law, but that don't make them right. That don't make them right. Saints know, sinners know that God is right. They know the church house is where you get right. And the pastor help you to get right. Amen. But the bottom line is that even though they know that is right, they know that it's right. They don't want it. They refuse it. They reject it. But what they want us to do, they want us to accept their sin. They want us to accept their madness, the church. They're not satisfied, even though it's passed into law and it's legal. They won't be satisfied till the church bow down and allow them to come in and do what they want to do. And we accept it. Why? Because innately, they know that it's wrong. They know that it's wrong. And that the church represents right. So if I can get the church to accept it, then we are right. But we will never accept that. Amen. We will never accept it. We will never accept it. And see, Romans 1 and 8 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, all unrighteousness of men who hold, listen to this, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They know the truth, but they hold it in unrighteousness. They don't want to be right. And they'll tell you, even in their music, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. They, you know, all you got to do is listen to the world's music. They'll tell you where they are. Amen. Praise God. They don't want no accountability. They don't want responsibility for their sin. It's like the children of Israel in the book of Judges, where it says, where they had no king, that every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that's how the world is rocking. That's how the world is rolling now. And that's why they seek to dismiss God out of schools and everywhere else. Dismiss God, dissolve the church, and discredit the pastor. And that whole situation with that pandemic, trust me, brother, if they could have, they would have shut the church of the living God down. They would have done it. But praise the Lord, the world has formulated, listen, such a negative attitude concerning clergy and concerning pastors. You know, and the sad thing about it is that many congregants all over the world have taken that idea of what a pastor should be from culture and not from scripture. From culture and not from scripture. And that's not good. Amen. You know, Psalms 127 and 1, very familiar passage. It says, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Amen. But we know that God is the builder of new generation. Would you agree? Praise God. But God always uses a man. And he's chosen to use this man of God here. And so we're in an awesome house this morning. And because the Lord is the builder of this house, he desires to honor, if I can say this morning, his general contractor. Praise God. In the form of Pastor Everett, hallelujah, Thomas. Amen. Praise God. So the question becomes, how do we honor God's man? How do we honor the holy man of God? Well, we do it, first of all, through understanding. In other words, yielding to and submitting to God's point of view and position on the matter. Amen. Praise God. And so as we begin this morning, we find ourselves in this story. And see, I'm over the drama ministry in our church. Amen. And so, you know, again, when I read the Bible, you know, I put myself in the middle of it, of what's being said and what's being written, and really try to get the essence of what's going on. So if you would this morning, see yourself as Saul, you know, and he's searching and he's looking diligently for his father's donkeys, wanting to please his father. And he got his servant there with him. And by this time, you know, of course, they've been looking and looking and looking and looking, but to no avail. And so they had looked in various places for his father's lost donkeys. They couldn't find them. And then Saul, perhaps out of frustration, says, listen, let us get back before our father stopped worrying, or my father stopped worrying about the donkeys and start to be concerned about us. But then seemingly out of nowhere, the servant said, behold, there's a man of God in the city. Perhaps he can show us our way. Now, think about it. When he said that to Saul, it wasn't like, because they was desperate at this point and at this time. It wasn't like, behold, there is in this city a man of God. At Prayer Adventure, we can go and see him. He'll show us our way. No, it wasn't like that. That thing hit him like a lightning bug. The Holy Ghost opened up his mind and let him know, behold, there is in this city a holy man of God. Pre-adventure, when we go, he can show us our way. And so there's 4 points that I have this morning, 4 keys of protocol in honoring this holy man of God. And the first one is the announcement of the man of God. The announcement of the man of God. You see, the servant, he announced that there was a holy man of God in that city. Amen. And the first 3 points that I'm going to make is going to really come out of the 6th verse. There's an A, a B, and a C portion to that verse. And so let's read. And it says, and he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God. He made the announcement that there's a man of God in the city. And so the first thing that we have to know is that God has sent us a man. In other words, we have a God-sent man. We have a God-sent man. You see, and I say that because, listen, some have just went. They have got up out of congregations and they went. But this holy man of God has been sent for this time, to this place, and for you, God's people. Amen. Jeremiah 3:15, God says, listen, I will give you pastors according to mine own heart that will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Why? So that you can multiply, so that we can multiply and increase. And so the question becomes, if God has given us a man of God, amen, the question becomes, why would God give us something that we don't need? Why would he give us something that we don't need? If we didn't need a pastor, why would God give us a pastor? No, we need a pastor. We need a holy man of God. More than we need a doctor, more than we need a lawyer, we need the holy man of God. The doctor, he deals with our physical bodies, which is temporal. The lawyer deals with our troubles and issues, which are also temporal. But the man of God deals with the issues of life and eternal life, and our eternal soul. We need the man of God. We need the holy man of God. We need the pastor. And so the next thing is, we need to not only know that he's a man of God, but we need to know that he's my man of God. He's my man of God. We got to make this personal, amen? He's my man of God. Turn to 2 Kings, and this will probably be the only scripture that I turn to outside of that. Praise God. But turn to 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, if you would. And when you get there, say amen. Ooh. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. And we're going to start at the 8th verse. Are you with me? It says, and it fell on a day that Elijah passed through Shunem, where was a great woman. Let me park right there. It says, where was a great woman. And that great woman, listen, woman in the Bible represents the church. But then also in this particular case, the great woman, which was the Shunammite, she represents, or she's a type of the first lady. She's a type of the first lady. Wherein this woman of God, just like this woman of God, the man of God, listen, is her husband. But also the man of God is her pastor. And the Shunammite woman shows us the delicate balance between respecting and honoring her husband and honoring the man of God, which the first lady also has to do. See, she's a woman that has one face but two sides. Now, I didn't say she was two-faced. Don't get me. I said she has one face and two sides like a coin. The man of God is her husband. The man of God is her pastor. And what she does, she walks through the delicate balance of respecting the husband and respecting the pastor. And she shows us as an example, amen, how to also respect them and respect him, to follow him as he followed Christ. And so she's very instrumental to this body, very instrumental to this body. And there's no way that we can say that we're honoring this man of God if we dishonor the woman of God. If we dishonor the woman of God, you know, in some churches, I'm quite sure it's not happening in here. You know, the wife, first lady is standing there with her husband, and people are walking all around her trying to get to the man of God. Pastor, you know, act like they don't see the woman of God. Because how can we say that we honor him and disrespect the woman of God? That ain't happening. That ain't happening. Amen. That ain't happening. Praise God. And so it says that she was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, that he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him a bed and a table, a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us, he shall turn in hither or thither. Praise God. You know, the spiritual definition for the word perceive, because the woman of God says, behold, I perceive this to be a holy man of God. That word perceive, it means the act of apprehension by means of mind cognition. It's awareness, immediate or intuitive recognition. It's insight and discernment. Insight and discernment. And that reminds me of Hebrews 5 and 14, where it says, those by reasons of use have had their senses exercised, amen, to discern both good and evil, good in God, amen. Praise God. And so how she perceived the man of God determined how she received the man of God, but also how she received from the man of God. So our perception is so important. It is so important. So now the question begin again is, the holy man of God, who is he to you? How do you perceive him? And that's a question that all of us have to answer in and with of ourselves. Amen. Being attacked. Praise God. Get out of here. You know, one of the insightful things, Pastor Everidge, one of the insightful things that Bishop would tell us, you know, at the Chop family, you know, he used to say, I'm not so naive to think that I'm everybody's pastor in the Christian House of Prayer. And, you know, you first hear that statement, you're like, what do you mean you ain't the pastor, man? You're the pastor. No. He said, I'm not naive to think that I'm everybody's pastor in the Christian House of Prayer. And so, you know, so if the pastor's not your pastor, the question becomes, why are you here? You know, why are you here? Because if you're still deliberating and investigating, and you've been here some time, and you haven't determined that this is a holy man of God and that he's your man of God, then this church may not be for you. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to empty the church, but that's just reality. Why would you get up, put on your clothes, spend your gas money, come down here, and this is not my man of God? I don't understand it. Praise God. Another thing that he would say, and Bishop had a lot of things, Pastor, that he would say, they were funny. Oh my God. They helped you remember, but it was always truth coming around the corner. Always truth coming around the corner. And one of the other things that he said was that you can lead, you know, most Americans around the world with a hamburger under their nose. Hamburger. Now, many of y'all are old enough, amen, where you know Popeye back in the day. I used to have Wimpy. Y'all remember Wimpy, right? Always trying to borrow a hamburger. I'll pay you tomorrow and all that. and never paid. And so man of God said that you can lead most Americans around this world with a hamburger under their nose. And we understood, you know, exactly what he was saying and what he was talking about. In other words, he was letting us know that we need to be led of the Lord and not of our appetites, you know, especially when it comes to making decisions for our lives, especially something as major as relocating your family to go to another city. See, a lot of people, they will relocate their families and they say things like, this will be a good move for me, a good move for me. And see, the question, you know, is not whether it's good, but whether it's God. Because good just got one too many O's, amen? You know, one too many O's. You know, a lot of times they say, you know, well, it's good schools and it's good jobs. And thank God for all of that. But the number one question you should be asking yourself is there a man of God in that city? Is there a man of God in that city, amen? And so we see that the first thing here is the announcement of the man of God. The announcement of the man of God. And in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, Abraham, it says, Abraham looked for a city whose foundation and whose builder and maker was God. And you better believe that if God is the maker and the builder of that city, there's going to be a man of God in that city. Amen. And thank God that we have a man of God in Mobile, Alabama, in New Generation Church. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. There's an announcement. There's a man of God in this city. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that moves us to our second key that is found in the same scripture. Amen. That is 6. And it says, and he is an honorable man. Praise God. It says, and he is what? An honorable man. And so here, the second key is the acknowledgement about the man of God. He is an honorable man. Would you say that this is an honorable man of God? I say that he is an honorable man of God. 10 years later, we got the clean preacher. Praise God. He's not about the glory, taking God's glory. He's not about the girls. He's not about the gold, the money. He's got the same wife. I said he got the same wife. Y'all must not know what I know. Praise God. This precious man of God has led us through a pandemic. That's major, people. That's major. Everybody didn't make it through that pandemic. Churches shut down all over America. New Generation is still standing because of the leadership of this man and woman of God. We don't take that lightly. Praise God. The acknowledgement about the man of God. It says he is an honorable man. And Romans 3:7 says to give honor to whom honor is due. Amen. And what amazes me about our society that we're so quick to give honor to everybody else but the preacher. Everybody else but the preacher. We're so quick to give homage, you know, to people in all kinds of arenas. Amen. We give it to rock stars and you know, we be praising athletes. They worship athletes, you know, athletes. We give homage to them, you know, even political figures. Amen. People give homage to them. And even in our judicial system, we give honor to people. Amen. You know, you go into a courtroom and the judge, he's coming in. And what does the bailiff say? What does the bailiff say? All rise for the Honorable Judge Plattenberg. And what do? We all stand up and give him his honor, right? That's even a protocol for how we even talk to him. You know, judge say something, you don't be like, yeah, what's up? You know, nah. No, we say what? Yes, your honor. No, your honor. Amen. So there's a protocol there. So we're so quick to give honor to individuals like that. But when it comes to the man of God, we hesitate. We hesitate. 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. Write them down. 5:12-13. It says, and we beseech you, that is, we beg you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord. And see, that's so important. Over you in the Lord. It says, and admonish you. It says, and to esteem them very highly for their work's sake, and be at peace. And be at peace. It says, know them that labor among you. Now, this is not saying that we are trying to get as close to the pastor as we can. Amen. Because the pastor already knows that it's not how close that, you know, he can get you to them, but how close he can get you to him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And see, because if you've been a member for any amount of time and hearing the preaching and the teaching of the word of God, there will be a closeness that will develop. Amen. It will develop, but it's not about that. It's all about giving the proper respect and esteem to the anointing that's upon this man and this woman of God's life. Amen. You know, in 2 Kings 4, the Shunammite woman, she says she perceived that Elijah to be a holy man of God. She recognized the anointing that was on that man of God's life. So to the point that she said that I got to get that anointing up in here, up in my house. And that woman went to her husband out of respect and said, let us build a place for this holy man of God. And listen, and even though that the man of God passed through continually, just like the pastor, he's in the pulpit continually, Sunday after Sunday and so forth. Amen. Wednesday, any other service that you may have, that the man of God has to come forth. It says he passed by continually, even though he passed by continually and even had a room in this woman of God's house, she remained respectful and she honored the man of God. So to the point that when he summoned her to bless her, the Bible says that he came to the doorway and that she stood in the doorway. She didn't even cross the door threshold. She didn't cross that line. Respecting and honoring that man of God, that room was in her house, but she understood not to cross that line, to honor that man of God. To honor the holy man of God, which she did not do, she did not allow herself to become familiar with the man of God. She didn't allow herself to become familiar. And likewise, we have to guard ourselves from that spirit of familiarity. Amen. You know, we've been here 5 years, 10 years, you know, and all of a sudden you can become familiar because, you know, you've been around for a while. But we have to guard our heart from that danger, because if you become too familiar with the man of God, you can begin to devalue him. Amen. Or you can find yourself with the attitude that the people in Mark chapter 6 had. It says at first, you know, when Jesus was teaching and preaching, they were astonished with the teaching of Jesus. They were saying, who is this man that the wisdom flows out of him like this? And then they looked over and said, wait a minute. They said, isn't that James' brother and Jose's brother and his sisters are over there? Isn't that Mary's son? And the Bible said they became offended with the fact that he was familiar to them. Who is he? Now, this is the attitude. Now, who is he to tell us anything? Now, how do you go from, oh, the wisdom of God is flowing to, oh, who is he supposed to be? And so we can become familiar if we're not careful. We first come to New Generation as the best thing since peanut butter and jelly. Then the man of God says something to offend us. Now, all of a sudden, I don't know. You know, once you was in awe when you first heard the man or the woman of God preach. Now it's awe. That's just Pastor E and Lala. Just become familiar. You know what I'm saying? And see, familiarity will cause you to see your man and your woman of God in a different light. It'll cause you to see them now all of a sudden, you know, when they're preaching, you critique the preaching. And then you find yourself contophoneing them. In other words, despising, looking down, light, low, and little on them, amen, for what they have not done, what they will not do, or what they cannot do. And that's how good leaders and good people go bad. That's how they go bad. So we have to make sure that we check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. Amen. Make sure that there's no looseness in our connection. You know, when we was at the conference, Bishop Mitchell was talking about when he was a little boy that, and little boys are like this, I guess, think they can do everything. And so his mother told him to tie his shoes. So he tied his shoes thinking, I got it, Mom, I'll do it. He said, by the time he got from one end of the hallway to the other, his shoes had came loose. And so his mother said, come here, let me help you. He said, no, I got it, Mom, I got it. He's down there, he ties his shoes, and again, he go, before he got to the end of the hallway, his shoes came loose again. So she said, come here, boy, sit down. She said, let me tie this shoe. She said, make sure that this looseness don't return. This looseness don't return. And so we got to make sure that there's no looseness in us as it pertains to being connected to the head, amen, and connected to this man of God. You know, Colossians 2:19 says, they don't stay connected to the head. And that's all of our responsibility, staying connected to the head. See, because Jesus is the head, but the pastor is the neck that turns with the head, amen? Have you ever seen a person with no neck? They got to do like this and do like that. No, but with the neck, he's able to turn with the head, amen? And it says, they don't stay connected to the head. It says, the head nourishes and supports the whole body through joints and ligaments so that the body grows with a growth that comes from God. The pastor is the neck that turns with the head so that we can properly follow God and follow God's ways. So that we can properly follow God and follow God's ways. So you don't want to be disconnected from the head, Jesus Christ, or the man of God, because the man of God is your prosperity connection. Amen. Praise God. I got Bible for you. I'm not just saying that. I got Bible. 1 Chronicles 20:20. Y'all are familiar with that. It says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall you what? Prosper. And so believing in God establishes you, but your prosperity is directly connected to your prophet. Directly connected to your prophet. And that's why the devil fights so hard to try to get you to be offended with the man of God. That's one of his jobs. He comes to separate the sheep from the shepherds. He wants you to be offended. He wants you to distrust them and question their motives about everything. But don't question the man and the woman of God. Move with the head. Move with the cloud. Not with the crowd over here, but move with the cloud, amen? And don't let the devil talk you out of your blessing. Don't let him talk you out of it. Now, if he can talk one-third of the angels out of, they was in heaven, and he talked one-third of them out of heaven, wouldn't make you think that he won't try his hardest to separate you from your blessing. One-third of them, they was there. Praise God. And so that brings us through to our third key and point. And we can find that again in verse 6 in the C portion of the scripture. And it says, now, let us go thither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. And you know, in Samuel, I believe it's the 12th chapter, 24th verse, Samuel said, man, I refuse to cease from praying for the people of God. He says, but I will show you the good and the right way. I will show you the good and the right way. That's what the man of God does. They show us the good and the right way. They said, listen, let's go there. And perhaps the man of God can show us our way. And so the third key is this, is what? The assistance from the man of God. The assistance from the man of God. How the man and the woman of God assist us in our life. You know, thank God for an under-shepherd. This under-shepherd who is submitted to the good, the great, and the chief shepherd who is the head. They follow his lead. And let me ask a question. How many of you have been blessed with the direction that this church has been going in? Are you blessed? No, really. Are you blessed by the direction that this church is going in? I'm telling you, God is doing some wonderful things here. And you know, we have a saying in CHOP, in the Christian House of Prayer, that when it comes to following instructions or directions, it says the anointing is in the instructions. The anointing is in the instructions. Now, listen, we're talking about the assistance from our pastor or from the holy man of God. Now, you know, a lot of people will come to a church like this, and you've seen it. Amen. They'll come to a church like this, and they'll come up to the pastor. It's always that pastor. You know. They'll come up to the pastor and they say, the Lord. And it's a way, you know, the way you said, the Lord. The Lord has sent me here to help you. Now, we understand what they're saying. We understand what they're talking about. But, you know, pastor was here when you got here. The church was here when you got here. And so we understand, you know, your servant's heart, you know, that you want to serve, but, you know, there's a revelation of the difference here. Amen. There's a revelation of the difference. You know, God didn't send you here so you could help the pastor. God sent you here. Why? So that the pastor can help you. Don't get it twisted. God sent you here so the pastor can help you. Then that's the revelation of the difference. The Bible says, whatsoever your hands find to do, you do it. Praise God. But no. God sent you here so the pastor can help you. And one of the main ways that the pastor assists us, because, you know, there's so much that I could say on this point, you know, for another hour, just talking about how the pastor assists us. But I'm just going to pull a few things. And one of the main ways that the pastor assists us is through the teaching and the preaching of the word of God. The teaching and the preaching of the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 states that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instructions in righteousness. Why? So that the man or the woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Unto all good works. And so they assist us by bringing the book like Ezra did. Amen. The Bible says that Ezra stood up on the pulpit of wood. And the people yelled out, bring the book. And the Bible says that he brought the book, that he opened the book, and he began to preach the unadulterated word of God. And that's what the man of God does for us. That's how they assist us. They assist us in correcting and instructing us in righteousness. Remember, the anointing is where? In the instruction. And we have learned that, listen, if God can't correct you, then God can't instruct you. If God can't correct you, God can't instruct you. And surely the world, they have an attitude, you know, again, they tell you in their music, can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Can't nobody tell me. And then that's just creeping in the church. Pastor can't tell me nothing. He can't tell me nothing. Praise God. And so, remember, the anointing is in the instruction. As one of the fivefold ministry gifts, you know, they help perfect the saints. Why? For the work of the ministry. They help to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, you say, well, what is the work of the ministry? Are you talking about, you know, the work we do here at church? No, not talking about that. I'm talking about, because there's a revelation of the difference when you say the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry, you could call it also the work of the church. But then you also have church work. And so there's a revelation of the difference between the work of the church and church work. Now, church work is ushering, you're in the choir, you know, those kind of things. That's the church work, the things we do within the four walls of the house of God. That's the church work. But the work of the church has been and will forever be is winning souls. Outside of these walls, that's where the real work begins. That's the church work. And see, it's not just a few over here on the usher board or a few on the choir. No, this is every one of our responsibility to do the work of the church. And through the preaching and the teaching of the word of God, the man of God helps mature us. What is that? Not be perfected, amen, in the sense of we're flawless, because we're all on the struggle bus, amen. We're all on the struggle bus. We're just sitting in different seats. My issue ain't your issue. We're just sitting in different seats. And guess who the driver is? Pastor. He's the driver, amen? We all on the struggle bus, but he's driving us and leading us to the Lord, amen? So that we can have and deal with our issues. But the bottom line is this. It says for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints, so that we can grow in the things and in the word of God, so that we can go out and do the work of the ministry, which is evangelizing, winning souls. And so look inwardly, even now. Look inwardly, even now. Now, this is the Holy Ghost of God. This is the Holy Ghost of God, because ask yourself, when was the last time that you literally made it a point when you left your house that today I'm going to share Jesus with somebody, that I'm going to minister to some lost soul? And then secondly, that you actually followed through with that and led somebody to Jesus Christ. See, listen, saints of God, listen. It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. God is not playing with this. God didn't give us what we have. God didn't bring us through a pandemic. God has not kept us alive. And we found that out in John 17. He says, Lord, don't take them out. He said, leave them here. Why? Because there's going to be others that they bring in. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility, people of God. God didn't just bless us, but what we have, so that we can just praise God and talk about, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. People say, how you doing? I'm blessed by the best, and we got all these sayings. But when we stand before God, God said, who did you bring with you? Who did you bring with you? Because that's the only thing that we can bring to heaven with us. We can't bring the cars, we can't bring the houses, we can't bring the money, but you can bring a soul to heaven with you. You can bring a soul to heaven with you. And so it's time for the church of the living God to wake up and to realize and recognize that the pastor, he's not the only one that's responsible for preaching this gospel, for getting souls saved. That's all of our responsibility. That's all of our responsibility, people of God. And so they work hard at teaching and assisting us in preaching the word of God, so that we can be mature enough to go out and confront that darkness. Arise, shine, for thy light has come. For the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee, upon you. And so all of us go into places where there's darkness, there's dark areas, whether it's on your job, the grocery store, the bowling, wherever you go. But we have to let our light so shine, not just with our lips, but also with our life. Letting our light shine. But then we do have to, at some point in time, we got to open up our lips and let people know that Jesus Christ, that he is the savior of this world and that he can save you. Amen. Come on, give God praise this morning. I know it's tight, but it's right. Because we got another 10 years that we got to make it through and through. Amen. Praise God. And we're not just going, you know, me, my four, and no more. We want a house filled church, amen? Not just to have numbers, but this is the will of God. This is the will of God. God is not just blessing us with more so we can do less, but God is blessing us with more so that he can bring in more, amen? Come on, y'all. God is blessing us with more because he wanna bring in more. Praise God. And the final key that we have today, and this is the only place, praise God, that we're going to find our final key that's not in verse 6, but it's going to be in verse 7 and in verse 8. It says, hold up, I got to get back to Samuel, praise God. We're going back to Samuel, everybody. All right, here we go. 1 Samuel 9, 7 and 8. Praise God. It says, then says Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. And so the final and the fourth key is this, the attitude towards the man of God. The attitude towards the man of God. You say they understood, Saul and his servant, they understood the importance of not going before the man of God empty-handed. They understood the importance of not going before the man of God empty-handed. See, there was something that they needed. And their use of finances was not paying the man of God for what they needed, but what they were doing, they were making an exchange. They were making an exchange. In other words, it was life for life. What do you mean by that? Life for life. In other words, the man of God, he gives his life over into what he does. In other words, this is not a hobby. They pour their lives into this. Like Paul says, he says, man, it's not reason for us to leave the word of God to serve tables. He says, but we shall give ourselves to what? To praying and the ministry of the word. So when he says we will give ourselves to that, what was he saying? No, we're going to give our lives to praying for these people and studying the word of God so that we can minister the word of God to these people. We're going to pour our lives into this. We're going to give ourselves over to this. This is going to be our lot in life, like the Levites. We're giving ourselves to this. And so they knew that when they approached the man of God, they couldn't come empty-handed. Why? Because this is this man of God's life. But see, what they had in their hand, it represents their life. In other words, our time represents our life. See, one thing that we can never go back and get is, and that's time. You can never go back and get time. So when you go on that job and you work 8 hours, 40 hours a week, some 60, 80 hours a week, you're pouring your life into that labor. That represents your life. And so for your time, in other words, for your life, they give you a check. They give you wages. So when you take that money, that's why you got to value your money. Not worship your money, amen, but value your money because it represents your life. So when they came and they made that exchange with the man of God, it was life for life. Life for life. They put their life in the man of God's hand to tell them what they should do. And so they needed to tap into the anointing. They needed something from that man of God. And I'm telling you the same. You and I should do that as it pertains to our man of God. There's something that we need from that man and offer that man of God's life. There's a special anointing that he has for new generation that we need to tap into, amen? We need to tap into that anointing. God has given it to us, and we need to pull on that anointing. We need to draw that anointing out of that man of God every time he's up in this pulpit. Praise God, because God has given that specifically for new generation. And so, surely the man of God was blessed with what was in their hand, but he, trust me, was more blessed what was in their heart that they brought to the man of God. And there was three things, and then we're going to close. The first thing that they brought the man of God was this. They brought him consideration. These three things I'm going to tell you is the same thing that we bring or should bring to our marriages. The first thing they brought was consideration. In other words, they considered who he was and what he does. They consider who he was and what he does, the man of God, who he was and what he does. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember those who have ruled over you, who have spoken to you the word of God. It says, follow their faith, considering the outcome of their manner of life or their manner of living. And ISV version says, remember your leaders, those who have spoken God's word to you. Think about the impact of their lives and imitate their faith. Have their lives impacted you at all? It says, think about the impact of their lives and imitate their faith. In other words, they're not saying be clones, you know, be little Pastor Everages. No. They, you know, not being clones, not being copycats, not being counterfeits. But what it is saying is this. They have preached the word. They have lived the word. Now you do the same. Now you do the same. Because nothing blesses the man and the woman of God more. There's no greater way that you can honor this man or woman of God is that you take the word of God that they have preached and you begin to live that word out in your life. And you are blessed by it. Whereby you can walk by faith and not by sight. And you can be the just that live by faith. That you can fight the good fight of faith, amen. That you can overcome this world by your faith. Nothing blesses and honors the man or the woman of God more than that. Because they spend time in the word of God to prepare a meal for you. They don't just go in there and grab a little snack, open up their Bible and come and stand before you. But they prepare carefully a meal to feed this body, amen. Praise God. And so the second thing is cooperation. The first thing they brought him was consideration, but the second thing is cooperation. And in that same chapter, in the 17th verse, that's Hebrews 13 and 7, it says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. And not with grief. Why? Because that is unprofitable for you. In other words, don't be a rebel. Submit yourself. Praise God. Submit yourself. And it's through your submission and obedience, you cooperate in your own spiritual growth. Amen. In other words, you invest in your progress. You invest in your progress. Because this pastor, this first lady, they're not the same people that they were 10 years ago. They're not the same people. They're evolving. They're evolving. They're changing. They're transforming. They're trusting and adjusting. They're not the same people. They're evolving. And it's so imperative that you also as a congregation involve or evolve with the pastor. You got to evolve with the pastor. I don't care how old we are. We're constantly evolving, because if we don't evolve with the man and the woman of God, just like the children of Israel, they didn't evolve with Moses. They complained, they whined, they murmured. If we don't evolve, we'll find ourselves revolving. In other words, going around in circles, just like the children of Israel. Going around in circles, going around in circles. Because we refuse to grow, we refuse to evolve, we refuse to change. So we're revolving. And what happened to the children of Israel? They dissolved. They didn't cross over. And so we have to evolve, or we'll find ourselves revolving, and then eventually we'll dissolve. You'll find yourself sitting in the front. Next thing you know, you're sitting in the middle. Next thing you know, you're sitting way back there. Next thing you know, you out the door. You out the door. So it's so important to evolve with the man and the woman of God. And you say, well, Pastor, but what does that look like for me? What does that look like? Well, first of all, if you're not a member and you've been coming here for some time, start right there. Start with membership, amen? Start with membership, because when you become a member, praise God, then you are committed to God and you can get connected to leadership. You're committed to God and you're connected to leadership when you commit to membership. But then you go from membership to discipleship. And Jesus says that if you continue in my word, you are my disciple indeed. See, because you can sit in here a member and never become a disciple. You have to continue in the word that they preach. Why? Because at some point in time, a true disciple is able to teach what they have been taught. They're able to go out and teach what they have been taught. But we move from membership to discipleship to partnership. In other words, a partner is going to do their what? Do their part. In other words, we do our part to fill a part. We do our part to fill a part. Amen. Because if you don't do your part, you won't fill a part. And if you're not a partner, amen, you could be a parasite or a pirate. And then what a pirate is, a pirate, they take what don't belong to them. But then a parasite, they suck off what others are doing. But we're not parasites. We're not pirates. We're partners, amen? We're doing our part to fill a part. And so we go from membership, discipleship, partnership, but then there's stewardship. Stewardship. What is that? We're glorifying God with our time, our talents, our gifts, our money, and our possessions. Stewardship. We move from stewardship, but then we evolve to what? Sonship. In other words, it's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When we make up our mind that we are no longer going to be the childish children of God, but I want to be transformed into the image and the likeness of his dear son. That when people look at me, they see Jesus. They don't. The first thing they come in contact with, they don't just come in contact with my flesh, but they come in contact with the spirit of the living God on the inside of me. I'm talking about sonship, amen? A person that can go through difficult times without murmuring, complaining, fussing and fighting, crying and whining. Sonship, amen? Praise God. And we move from sonship to fellowship. And basically what that is, that's now you're a son with a fathering spirit. In other words, it's not just about me, my four, and no more, but God has blessed you in your maturity. Hallelujah, that you have enough not only to bless your own family, but you can bless somebody else's family for the glory of God. I got two people that's excited about that. Praise God. And so we see the membership, discipleship, partnership, stewardship, sonship, fellowship, but it's all under the what? Lordship of Jesus Christ. And the final thing before we close that we need to bring the man of God is our communication. Our communication, praise God. So we have consideration, cooperation, but then there's communication. In other words, I'm not talking about with our lips. We know we ought to talk to our pastor, amen? I ain't talking about that kind of communication. I'm talking about the kind of communication when a brother or a sister roll up on you, they hug you, and then they shake your hand with that holy handshake, and you be like, oh, there's something in my hand. And you look down there, and there's a blessing. That brother or that sister done put some life in your hand. In other words, they're saying, I value you. You mean something to me. Brother, you are a blessing. Sister, you are a blessing to me. I want to put some of my life in your hand. I want to sow in your life. Communication is what I'm saying. In other words, Galatians says it like this. Galatians 6:6. It says, let them that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Amplify said it like this. Let those who receive instructions in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. And then Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18, it says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those that labor in the word and in doctrine. And the Living Bible says it like this. Pastors who do their work well should be paid well and highly appreciated, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching the word of God. You see, the scripture lets us know, don't muzzle a working ox. Amen. It says the worker deserves his pay. You know, Elijah with Elijah. See, he caught the revelation of the kingdom protocol as it pertains to serving Elijah. He served that man of God faithfully, never leaving his side, even though the other sons, they was trying to discourage him. You know your father going to leave your head today. You know that, right? But that did not discourage that man of God. Why? And this is so important, people of God, because Elisha was loyal. Elisha was loyal. And the thing about loyalty is this. Loyalty means something to God. And loyalty means something to the man of God. And I'm happy here to stand here today and say that I'm a loyal man. That my wife is a loyal woman of God. We've been with the man and the woman of God for 40 years. 40 years. Loyal to the man and the woman of God. Loyalty means something. In a day where people are just so unloyal, they'll chase the dollar, they get offended, all kinds of things happen. But loyalty means something with God. And one of the things the man of God says, man, give me a person, if I got to choose between a person that's loyal and faithful, give me loyal any day. Because we can work on the faithfulness. But give me loyalty any day. Loyalty is so important, people of God. So important to God. And so Elijah, he served Elijah not because of what Elijah needed, but it was because of what he needed. He needed the anointing that was on that man of God's life. And not only did he need the anointing, but he needed what we all need in this last and evil day. And that is a double portion of God's anointing in our lives. Because it's not getting no brighter. It's going to get darker, but God has given us the light. And he's given us a man of God, amen, to show us the good and the right way. And so now we know that he's a man of God. We have a man of God. We know that he's an honorable man of God, amen. We're going to commit ourselves in keeping the right attitude towards the man of God, amen. But then also, we want to make sure that we always realize and recognize how the man of God assist us in our life. And we are who we are today because of the grace of God and also because of the gift of God that God has given us. Amen. Come on, give God praise. I'm done. Praise the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is so good. He has graced us this morning. And if you would stand to your feet, those that can stand, you just want to take the time, never taken for granted, even though this is an appreciation service and we're honoring the holy man of God. But we always honor God. And one of the things the Lord says is this. He says, I desire truth in the inward parts. I desire truth in the inward parts. And one of the things that the Lord said, even as it pertained to when he was choosing David through the man of God, Samuel, to be king, all of the brothers stood before him. And he was looking at the outward appearance of all these men. Surely it's this one. He's tall, dark, and handsome, and all of this other stuff. But God says, I don't see as you see. You look at the outward appearance of man. He says, but I look at the heart of man. With every head bowed, every eye closed, God sees every heart today. God sees every heart today. Every heart. And he's viewing and he's looking and he's searching over this congregation. And again, he says, I desire truth in the inward part. This is the house of God, the church of the living God. We're not out in the world where they would judge us for what we're about to do now and despise us. But this is among the household of faith. This is family. Like I said, all of us are on the struggle bus. So none of us can judge the other. Only God can do that. And so this morning, as I make these appeals, don't be concerned about who's to the left or who's to the right. Because again, we're all on that bus. It just so happened, today is my day. And so if you're here this morning, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says that he stands and knocks at the door of your heart. And if any man hear his voice and open up the door, he says, I will come into him and be his God or be her God, and he or she will be my people. You said, I've been coming to church. I don't do bad, too much bad. I don't do wrong or whatever the case may be. The problem with that is that, you know, the Bible said that no man is good but God, Jesus. And so we all need a Savior because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He says that if we bring him truth, he'll bring us mercy. He already knows where we are. He's just looking for us to be bold enough to make a decision for him. And so if that's you this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm asking this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, that you would slip your hand up this morning, and we'll pray with you this morning.
Thank you for joining us for today's message. If you would like to watch a replay, this and all messages are available on YouTube by searching NGC Media Ministry and clicking subscribe. Also, to learn more about our ministry and for upcoming events, go to newgc.org. If you would like to give, you can do so in person by dropping by the sanctuary, by mail to 1350 North Cody Road, Mobile, Alabama 36608, online at newgc.org/giving, by text at 251-278-2225. Or scan to give by scanning the QR code on the screen. Thank you, and God bless you all.